quickly, let's start our prayer meeting. I always like us to start with the confession of the Word of God after reading a portion of the Scriptures. The one I want us to read today is one that every child that has been to church knows, Psalm 23. Quickly open to it. Let's start with that. Can you rise to your feet if you don't mind? Let's together read it with a robust voice. So verse 1, 1, 2, go.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Verse 3, restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Let's read verse 6 one more time. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. That's the confession, amen? It's a confession, isn't it? That's what it is. We're just declaring it that the Lord is our shepherd. What does it mean to be a shepherd? It's the one that leads. That's what it means. And I said to you before, the way the Lord leads, there are different ways. But the basic way by which he leads is to instruct you in the way by which you should go as general principles of life. It's not that every day he has to whisper for you when to wake up or when to sleep. When the occasion would deserve it, he will do that. But generally, what he does is to teach you the way in which you should walk. And when you walk in it, you are following him. And that means he's your shepherd. And the consequence of following the will of God like that for your life is that you shall not want. Say it again, I shall not want. I shall not want.
Say it again, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
No matter the difficulties outside.
No matter the difficulties.
Yeah, say it like, say, no matter what the difficulty might be outside.
No matter what the difficulty might be outside.
Despite that, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
When I know nobody.
When I know nobody.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
When things are hard.
When
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
No matter what it is,
no matter what it is,
as long as the Lord is my shepherd,
as long as the Lord is my shepherd,
this is my confidence.
This is my confidence.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
All right, the Lord is good.
All
I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let me quickly get into the teaching for today. That portion of the scriptures, that's the whole of the Psalms, is our confession. As we read it, that was a confession of the Word of God. No need to say anything further than that. All right. If you're happy, say amen.
Amen.
Let's continue from where we were last time. I'm hoping that I will be able to complete it. This will be a continuation of last week's message. We're concluding what we have been saying about how to deal with the devil in your life. And then let's read the two scriptures that we read last time. All right, the book of Luke chapter 4. Let's start with that. The temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read from verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And these are the temptations. That was the first one. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. In verse 8, Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Now, we read this last time and we explained some things about it. Let me just read the second one and then we pick up from there. I have two more to read, actually. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. He says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said in verse 16, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Please notice that the arrow, the wicked one is firing flaming arrows at us. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I say, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that all trouble will be given to me and all of that. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, quickly, one more, please. I want to read this, and I start saying the things I want to say for today. The book of Isaiah chapter 8. This one is very, very, very important. Of course, all of them are important. Well, I quote this once in a while, but we're not open to read it. It's a long one. Let's start from verse 9. I like to just, my Bible breaks them into segments, so I like to take the segment fully, but I'll rush here and there and settle down on the important verses that are relevant to our teaching. It said, be broken, verse 9, be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, O remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, and it will be thwarted. State a proposal, and it will not stand, for God is with us. Now, please, this is a very important thing, word to declare over your life. Don't worry about you. As we go on, we'll see it. Christianity is a life, the way you live your life is not the way you respond to crisis. Are you getting my point? It's where you live life all the time. You must have a mindset, all right? I see people all the time so focused on their enemies. Look, there are words that God, all right, gave to us to use to tackle that. This is it. He said, God is with me. Any plan that's against me will not stand. That's what he's saying. But let me go on to the main thing I want to bring out. Verse 11 says, for thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people, saying, that is, God said to me, very important, there is a way I wanted to walk, and it's different from the way these people are walking. Like I was saying a moment ago, Christianity is how you walk. He said to me with a mighty hand, verse 12, you are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. And it shall be your fear and it shall be your dread. Then it shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel, that is those who are walking in iniquity, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. Now, this was what God said to Isaiah, his prophet, his servant. He said, to them, the houses of Israel, he will be a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He now said to them in verse 16, He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. In verse 17, he says, "And I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. When they say to you," verse 19, "consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter," he says, "should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living?" He said, "to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn." That is where I want to stop. That's actually the main reason why I read all of this. He said, "to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn," or "they have no light." The Lord is good. If you believe it, please say amen again.
Amen.
All right, let's teach. We have been talking about how to handle the devil in your life. Remember, we said the devil doesn't have the kind of power people often talk about him as if he has. Whether you pray about the witch or not, he or she, they are he witches, right? No. That's me. We used to mean when we were young. We said the male ones were wizards and the female ones were witches. In the story of witchcraft, there are two groups of people. You understand my point? Yes, the witches are different from the wizards. And amongst the witches, they have male ones also. All right? So whether it's a he or it's a she, it is irrelevant. Whether you pray about them specifically or you don't, they can't do anything about you. That's just the truth. They can't do anything against you. They can't. They are not worthy of your all-night prayer sessions. It's very crucial we keep on saying these things because we are talking from an African background. And you have to speak words that are relevant to people. They can't. Look, they can't. Do they exist? I think they do. Actually, don't let me say I think. I know they do. Do you understand? But as far as I am concerned, that is relative to my life, you know, they don't exist. Because if on Mars you found water in one brook on Mars, how does that concern me? Do you get my point? So that's how it is. So maybe they live, maybe they are existing somewhere, but as far as my life is concerned, it's irrelevant. Why? Literally, because my life is hid, like King James says, with Christ in God. Because I'm seated far above the realm in which they operate. That's the simple thing about it. This is not a prayer matter. This is information matter. You understand what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, sir.
That's how it is. So, this is what we would now say, what do we want to do with the devil concerning? If you don't know, I mean, when you want to protect your house against water, you don't lock your doors. Is that what you do? Think about it for a moment. You put burglar proofs, strong metal iron, and lock with strong keys when you want to prevent your house from being flooded. You don't do that. If you want to prevent thieves from entering into your house, you get plenty fire extinguishers. You give fire extinguishers to your security men. Have you ever seen policemen carry fire extinguishers around? On their belts, they're walking around. So if it's a half hour, I'm going to extinguish a thief today. One criminal is coming, I'm going to extinguish him. No. You arm yourself according to the purpose of your enemy. I don't know what I heard I said.
Yes.
The method he's using. That's how you arm yourself. That's how you protect yourself. If you want to prevent your house from being flooded, you make sure there's good drainage around your house. When the house is being built, you elevate it slightly above the surrounding level, the grounds, you understand? Slightly above. You make sure there's drainage. You lock your taps, you do things like that. Because that's the method by which water destroys things. And water doesn't want to steal anything and carry it away, really. It wants to soak something. So, for water, it's drainage. For burglars, you prevent entry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why you use, very common in Nigeria here, burglar proofs. Countries where they don't do things like that, they use alarms. You understand? The house is wired to one alarm that goes off. The thief doesn't even hear it, and the policeman is at the gate. So if you don't know the method the devil uses or what he's looking for, you defend yourself wrongly. You understand my point? That's what a lot of people do. They don't know what he's looking for. They don't know the method he uses. So you find a lot of people, they go for prayer meetings. They'll go and meet one specialist prophet that will deliver their families from their troubles. And when they are going, their girlfriend, this man is married though. His girlfriend escorts him and waits outside in the car. I don't know whether you're getting that point. Yet he goes into the house of the prophet. He kneels down. He gives an offering. And he receives all kinds of prophetic words against his problems. And the devil likes that. He loves it. Why? Because there is no effect. The man is walking in sin. He's arming the devil every day against himself. And then he's praying against him. He has made a mistake concerning the operation of the devil. He's buying fire extinguishers, all right, to quench, to prevent flooding in his house or to prevent burglars from entering the house. What has fire extinguishers got to do with a burglar? That's what the problem is. People think the devil has a kind of power, you know, they talk about, and that what you need to do is fight that power. They don't know the fellow is more subtle than any other thing. He's not brazen in his attack, he's subtle. And the primary thing we discussed extensively last time, okay, is that he wants to steal our faith. That's just it. He's not trying to steal your money. What he wants to steal is what? Faith. Faith. Whom resist, we read at the beginning, steadfast in faith. Resisting the devil is steadfastness of faith. I emphasized before that Abraham did not know somebody like him existed, and God didn't bother to educate Abraham or Isaac or Jacob on the personality of Satan. It was irrelevant. As long as they walked with him and obeyed him, Satan was inconsequential in their lives. So he spent the energy teaching them about the ways of God. And like I said at the beginning today, that Christianity is how you live your life. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's a walk. And the walk the way it manifests, or the way it's to run in our lives, is that God has given words. Like we're reading from the book of Isaiah just now. He said, "The Lord instructed me with mighty power." If you have a King James, he said, "With a strong hand." And what did he say? Don't walk in the way of these people. That is everything God said to him is summarized like this. The Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me with not to walk in the way of these people. So he said that. So everything the Lord said to him, you are not to call a conspiracy. What is we call a conspiracy? Don't fear their fear. All those in the summary of it, he said, is in verse 11. Do not walk in the way of these people. That is the summary of everything. Don't call what they call a conspiracy. Make sure the Lord alone is the person you fear. He's the only one you regard as holy. You understand all those things. It's summarized in one sentence. Don't walk in the way of these people. And that's what Christianity is. How we walk. How we relate with things. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Now, so these are the things we have been saying. All right. The devil wants to take us out of the Christian walk. The way we walk with the word of God as a foundation. He wants us to walk in the way of the people. The reason is simple. That is the only time he has power. That is the only time he has power. The only time he has power is when we change the way we walk. Let me just say something to us, all right, quickly, as believers. He said, let me just refer to some things, verse 13. It is the Lord alone you will regard as holy. He alone will be your fear. He alone will be your dread. Do not fear what they fear, and don't be in dread of it. That's the reason why I read that. It is very important in life that everything you do in your life is not according to the pattern of the world. Now, it sounds like a simple statement, but we do it every day. It's very, very important. When Paul, in fact, this is what Paul is referring to when he said that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do I mean? If in your village a successful man is judged by the height of his car, are you getting my point? You know, I keep on saying this thing. And I know it's the Holy Spirit that's leading me to say it. Then, it is time to buy a bicycle. Did you hear what I said? He said, don't fear what they fear. The summary of it is this: you must have a different set of standards. This is one thing I say all the time, I discover with Christians, and a lot of us, well, not a lot of us, most of us preachers are the guilty parties. We are the ones that cause the problem. You see all the time, people gather for programs, they are praying, you understand, they are giving, they are sowing seeds, they are interceding, so that God will do for what he has done, will do for them what he has done for the unbeliever. Are you getting my point? That this, the standard is the same. This is my year of victory. It's my year of success. Why? Because the people said, if by this age I have not built a house in the village, I'm a failure. So, now, who said so? Who said so? Who said so? It's not God. The people said, if by this particular point in my life I have not built a house, I am a failure. Therefore, I am praying and fasting and sowing seeds so as to satisfy what the people said. That is called fearing their fear. That is how we walk in the world. That's how we walk in the way of the world. You know, today I was discussing with somebody, you know, something led to it. We just chat, you know, just free chat in my office. And I was asking something. You know me enough here. I'm one person that preach all the time, never criticize a man who's flying a private jet. Why? He's going to private places and he can afford it. He needs private time. He has to save the time. Do I have money to buy a private jet? Yes, amen. Praise God. Just I don't need it yet. Yes. Yeah, laugh both literally and laugh spiritually. Yeah, both laughter. You know, it's allowed because Isaac, his name of Isaac is laughter. So you can laugh because you believe it. You can laugh because it's funny. You're allowed to do both of them. No, I shouldn't be saying that I don't have money. What do I mean if I don't have money? If I need it, God will bring the money. If I need it, he will bring the money. The only reason why we don't have it yet is because, the whole of this year, we left Enugu to go for how many times? Very few times. That's the main reason. If we need it, it will come. There is nothing you need that God will not give to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's a matter of fact. All right? So you know my attitude about that. But at the same time, if I was telling my brethren, I said, if I need it, I will buy myself a private jet. I said, but I don't believe I'll ever buy myself a Rolex. Yes, a Rolex watch. Omega chronometer, what they call it. One master. I said, I will never buy. You know why? Because I've done a lot of research. And I'm going somewhere, please. You see what I'm saying in a moment. I said simply, that is my logic. Luxury is not a bad thing. Let me give you my definition of luxury. Luxury, I want to quickly summarize so I can get back to my message. Let me hasten up my talk. Luxury is that little extra you get for great cost. This extra you can do without, but if you have it, life will be sweeter and more enjoyable, and maybe even more efficient. Do you understand that? But that little extra, it comes at great cost, but it will come at great cost. What I mean is this. There's no other way to get it. Luxury, let me see. That's, I didn't read it anywhere. In fact, I think Revelation. You understand what I'm saying? No, Revelation. Listen to how I said it. Luxury is that little extra that comes at a lot of cost. Money cost now, all right? But if you have it, it makes life more enjoyable and makes you more efficient. But you can do without it. Do you understand that? But it always comes at that extra cost. I could fly to the U.S., sit in an economy class, you understand, and enjoy myself, you know, get there in 12 hours, all right, depending on which part you are going, just a 12-hour flight. I could do that. But I could also do that flying first class. Do you get my point? In both situations, I'll get to the place at the same time. Now, the first class ticket is four times the cost of an economy class ticket. But for that, you get to sleep. Do you get, you understand what I'm saying? For that, you get to eat what you want when you want it. For that, you get, if everybody's getting 2 bags of 23 kg each, you probably get 4 bags of 100 kg. Maybe, you understand? For that, you don't queue in line anywhere. Somebody comes to collect your bag from down, goes to check it in, These are little things that if you don't get them, you won't die. You still get to where you are going, right? But if you do have them, you know the Lord is good. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But that little extra comes at a great extra cost. Last time my wife and I were coming back from the U.S., about 2 or 3 hours before we landed in Lagos, I told her the greatest need of my life right now is to lie down. I was tired of sitting straight. By that time, I sat straight for like 9 hours. And the greatest desire of my life was to lie down. But Bros was in economy class. There was no lying down there. I remember I told my wife, when I have the money, I'm not flying here again. No, there's no things you can say. You can use the money for better things. I'll still do better things. We'll do all of it. I don't know why. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today. You know, we're talking. He said that, just part of the chat. I said, look, I want to buy this kind of car. I just told him. He said, why do you want the car? He said, go and build a house. I said, stop here, stop. I stopped him. I said, in my life, things are not mutually exclusive. It is not a deal whether either I build a house or I buy a car. I told him something I did recently and the things I did along the way. I said, as a law, my normal life must not stop because something is being done. So you go and say, please, uncle, please, can you help me? I want to go to school. We are doing, I need money for a project. Hey, you know I'm building a house. You are not blessed if you talk like that. Your cousin needs money to do something. You say, because you are building a house, you can't help him. That house, you are building it before it's time. So if I sell it, just sell it the way it is and buy your freedom in Jesus' name. Just buy your freedom. Buy your freedom. You understand my point? No, it's important. All right? I'm trying to sit on my message. Father God, please help me. Now, so I'm going somewhere with all of these things. So I told that, let me get back to our first discussion I was telling you about. So I told the person I was discussing with in the office, I said, that is why I am not going to buy a Rolex. Do you know my reason? It's simple. I have checked. If I buy a quartz watch, all right, for $100, okay, and you give me a Rolex of $4,000, my $100 quartz watch is more reliable than the $4,000 Rolex. Yes, the $4,000 Rolex is made of surgical grade stainless steel. I can get a good quality watch of surgical grade stainless steel for $150. I have reasoned it to the front, to the back, left, right, and center. I have not seen the little extra that is being given to me for the much extra money I have to pay. Even if I'm a billionaire and buy, even though I will willingly fly first class. Because that's why I told the whole story. Because I can identify the little extra that I am getting. Now, this person in question now told me something. He said, no, I'm going somewhere. That's why I told the whole talk. He said, no, that life is not like that. There are things you just do when you have reached a stage to show that you're in a particular class. That's why I told this whole, you see, this is my long story. Anyway, I'm a teacher. By the time I'm finished, you will have understood what I was saying. But the story is long. Even me, I'm tired to hear it. He said, so that you will know. He said, that will be in a particular class. I said, I tried to explain. After a while, what you are saying is that just to show me the particular class, I'll do certain things. We're talking about cars and something like that. He said, yes, now, after you have labored, so you know you belong to a particular class. I said, all right, I understand. In my mind, I said, okay, we obviously are thinking at two different frequencies. You know, one of the wisdom that God gave me in the last many years is for me to be able to identify your frequency in life and know whether it's the same as mine. If it's not, I leave you there. If you're on the same sick frequency, I will argue with you, trying to realign you to what is right and what is wrong. Let's get it clear. But when we're not on the same frequency, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm talking about not to walk in the way of these people. Forget whether one person is one way, another person another way. That is an ungodly way of reasoning. It's not just a matter of you don't like it, I like it. No. There are reasoning patterns that are ungodly. A Christian is not allowed to do anything. You are not allowed to do anything because you want to show that you belong to a particular class. My brethren and I were discussing the other day. Somebody said along the line, you were talking about, this private jet thing, you know, there's a lot of discussion in Nigeria these days. So we're talking about it again. So I was not, just one of the things I've explained now, We're talking about function and use, being able to distinguish between purpose. But what I call it is blink, you know. There's a difference between purpose and, you know, I said it's either a tool or it's a blink. You know what I call it, blink? Yeah, blink, just and show off, you know, just show that I'm there, you know. I said, for me, that we must understand what is a tool, and we must understand what is blink. Then somebody answered that, no, sometimes some things can be tools also. I said, what do you mean? That somebody said, an actress in Nigerian movie industry said that she has to wear the latest clothing, you know, the hottest fashion, the bigger names in fashion, that her market, her manager says it's part of packing up her profile so that she can, you understand my point? I said, yes, you know, it makes sense, so I have to do it and all of that. I said, number one, go and ask Denzel Washington whether he does it. I said, number two, ask, I mentioned that, Samuel L. Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson on record has earned the biggest amount of money in the movie industry. I said, go and ask him whether he does that. I said, one day I saw Tom Cruise being interviewed on the red carpet. What are you wearing? He said, I'm wearing clothes. He said, I'm wearing what? Clothes. Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible. They said, okay, made by who? He said, I don't know. I bought it in a shop. Yes, that's what Tom Cruise said. And listen, the day I watched a program on the life of Julia Roberts, by the time she had hit it big, they showed her picture. My wife dresses like that, we'll have problems. Not for indecency, shabby. It's like just tie a wrapper like this, not balance or edge. Assuming that Nigerian. I said, what? That they had to talk to her to finally link her with Amani. And the first day she came out in Amani, even me had to respect. I said, no wonder this man is so famous. I said, this old man is good. That's Giorgio Armani, you know? But I said, look, listen, go and check out Julia Roberts. She didn't make it like that. I said, your friend is a beggar. Go and tell her I said so. Begging for roles. I said, Edco said, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. That when you are empty inside, you have to paint over very well. I said, this is where I'm going to. I said, this is what we call worldliness. Your movie manager that tells you that you have to dress like this, I said, it's obvious he doesn't market people of value. He does not market people of substance. Not managing people that have value. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something. That's what Christianity is. We align how we think. And what the devil is trying to do is to pull us away from the proper thinking process. Christianity is for us to, that is, if the world says, you know, I'm making a joke again in my office today. There was a lady that was there, one of my colleagues. They said, okay, they were going to get us, we're doing an exam. So, okay, go and get refreshments for people. I was telling my secretary. All right, so we're sending somebody. They're going to get some things for us. What would you like? Would you like a drink? He said, no, I'll like water. And I said, this is going to make you laugh. I said, is it because of sugar? I said, because right now I'm on riot. May I drink sugar deliberately? Now, if I wanted water, I'll just drink the Coke. Why? Just to prove to these WHO people that they don't know anything. I don't know why some of you understand what I'm going to say there. I'm just vex. And I said, no, it's not because of that. I said, okay, good. I didn't mind water. I actually used to like water. But in recent weeks, I'm on a kind of protest march. So they said that, no, don't drink. Yes, sugar is not good for you. That's it. You killed it. I will reach for it. If I can concentrate the Fanta, double. I will drink one large glass and look at you. Uh-huh. If you talk again, I'll chew a cube of sugar. When I'm leaving my house, sometimes this day I look at Opera Square. Everybody going around jogging. I don't want to jog again. I want to sleep some more. That's just protest. You know my reason? I said, if I want to jog, I like to be fit. You know, one of the things I like is to be able to, from ground floor, run up to this level without breaking my stride. I like, you know, it feels good. You know, there's a feeling you get like, yo, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I feel good, you know. But say, okay, go and jog so that you live long. That's it. I'm going to live long and I will not jog. Neither fear ye, they are fear. Did you hear Abraham jogged? Nonsense. You know, if you, I have my reason for talking like this. Don't be angry with me. you know, this is my job. Those of you who know me well enough, I'm a specialist, you understand? And I've seen confusion in medical field. Tomorrow you drink sugar, it's good, makes you here. Tomorrow you drink it, you will die. One day, one of our brothers here sent me a message and showed that in the last, I forgot the number of years, that 75% of medical advice, they radically change it every 5 years. Today, look this way when you are walking. Tomorrow, if you look like that, you will die. You know, those kinds of things. So now I have taken the Bible, I read it. If you say, for long life, jog, I would carry chair and sit down. I say, with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Long life is a product of a right relationship with God. Neither fear ye their fears. That's how I'm trying to explain, no? I'm trying to explain. If the world gives me a particular set of standards, I look at it. He said, when they say to you, let us go this way, he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law amongst my disciples. Remember, he said, when they said, let us consult the mediums and the priests and those who want, I said, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no done. What I do is seek the law of God, the word of God concerning any situation. That's what Christianity is. That my viewpoint about life is framed by the precepts of God. Yes, that's a good word. The precepts, the principles of God. I told that whole story at the beginning because when he said that, you belong. I said, no, I refuse to belong. I don't want to belong. I am complete in him. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, in Christ, I'm good. Let me just summarize it like that. In Christ, I'm good. I'm not trying to impress you. The only thing that I will, in quotes now, try to, that I will use to impress in quotes. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm not trying to give you a feeling about myself, all right? I'm going to say that I want you to hear my voice. You know, something is ignited in you. The only thing for me as an individual is a gift of God in my life. That's a teaching anointing. I have to fine tune. So anytime you hear it, you are happy. That's it. That's the only reputation I want in life. That if you are confused, click on kwm.com.ng, download 2 messages, your life goes straight. Do you get my point? It's very important. The world is not going to set the standards by which I will live. Tell me when to marry, when to build a house. Tell me I'm nothing if I don't have this, I don't have that. If you tell me I'm nothing if I don't have something, that thing, if I had it before, I go and lock it up. That's a lot of time when I go to speak with young people. You know, I try to emphasize these things to them because the world has a way of just scattering things for people by wrong standards. I told them once I went to preach somewhere. You know, the Holy Spirit wanted to shock that girl that she didn't know I would see her. I was telling a story of how I got engaged and that I went to market and bought my wife a ring. Engagement ring. Was it 250 or 300 naira? Can't remember. Can you remember the price? 300. Anyway, in fact, somebody says even 150. It was something around that, yeah. Yeah, my naira had more value that time. Yes, that was the same transport money between Lagos and Benin, something like that. I said, I gave it to my wife and she wore it, amen?
Amen.
She wore it till we got married and wore it after we got married. I didn't even know she didn't know it was 300 naira, even though she knew it was cheap. But even if I'd come with gold, she would have been worried. Where did you get it from? So what? You went and bought gold. Where did you get the money? Of course, one girl was there. Said, I won't take it. I said, you see how the word, the Satan. Confused the young woman. Holy Spirit just said, look, that's her there. My eye just, boom, big hole, plenty of people. My eye just caught her straight. Bam! And she was telling her friends, I won't take it. I said, yes, that's it. All the peace that comes with it, you also will not take. All the joy that comes with it, you also will not take. All the prosperity that comes with it, you also will not take. What is the ring? What is the ring? That, what is, if I want to buy a ring, is the ring a problem? Yesterday, out of vexation, not, you know, I wasn't feeling sad, I wasn't feeling happy, I just wanted to make a point. I went and bought 2 rings for 50,000 naira. Take, madam, where? Just wait, so that it will be a body for you. You know something? Let me just do it. I can just say I can do it. The point I'm just making is this, all right? The world, let's get back to the main message. The world, you know, they set standards for people, tell people walk like this. This is how it is. And listen, that is how Satan grabs people. That's what I'm going to explain. That is how Satan grabs people. When I finish the series on Christ that was started on Saturday, the next thing I want to do again is that being led by the Spirit. I want to explain to people again that being led by the Spirit does not mean, my daughter, let me just tell you, that guy as he comes today, don't marry him. And my son, there is a job that is coming. You shall take it. You shall take it. The Holy Spirit does that once in a while. Do you hear what I said? But not often. The more he does it to you, the less experience you have about life. The more you know, the less he talks. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, when the Bible says being led by the Spirit, I wanted to emphasize, it means that the standards, the set of standards you are using are spiritual. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit comes and says, oh boy, don't wake? Yes. Let me tell you what you will do today. This morning you shall bathe. All right? And so people now come to you and say, as I woke up this morning, the Lord said to me that you should have a bath so that you won't go out smelling. Praise God. And then as I finished having the bath, suddenly my Holy Spirit said, oh, my son, which one are you using? Are you using Close Up, McLean's, or Colgate? And the fellow comes and he's feeling very spiritual. So I don't brush unless the Holy Spirit tells me. I don't brush if the Holy Spirit doesn't say so. You just said the brother say, apparently your parents didn't teach you anything when you were young. That's all. So if your father didn't teach you to brush, Holy Spirit will teach you. But please, don't feel very spiritual. What I want them to emphasize, when we say we are being led by the Spirit, it is, I'm so eager to get back to that teaching. It's so crucial. I feel a strong urge about it to explain to people. When we say we are being led by the Spirit, what we mean, what the Bible means, what Paul was saying in that Romans chapter 8, is that we have renounced the way of the peoples. Do you get my point? And our standards are now the ones taught to us by God. So that the people of the world says, which job are you going to take? I'm going to take that. No, these guys are offering me maybe 5 million naira per annum. It's good, but the other guys are offering 5.5. What about the other guys are offering 5.650? Okay, no, let's go for the one that offering 5.9. Nobody thinks of any other thing. When you get there, what are you going to do? They don't know. They don't care. Oh, I'm going to be selling cigarettes. I'm going to be a cigarette marketer. Do you believe in smoking? No, it's just business. No Christian has any business selling cigarettes. I know enough about that one. It's like waking up in the morning and selling heroin that's legal. It's legal heroin. It's cocaine that has not been outlawed. It's like go to America now because they have now removed the ban of selling Igbo. You know, Americans now sell Igbo in many of the states. You now start dealing in drugs and bringing tithes and offerings. It makes money. Are you getting my point? Now, how were you led to take that job? It's called the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things that are in the world. But when love is leading you, when pouring a blessing is leading you, when exercising your gift, you know it's a commandment. He said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If you read the American Standard. In life, therefore, if you have identified your gift, whatever you do, make sure you are able to exercise it accordingly. Never take a job that makes sure you can never exercise your gift accordingly. Can you see? We are now discussing work now with different mindsets. Every work you do should pay you money, most certainly. But even if it doesn't, if the only option is, you know, like I said, it is better to be busy making no money than to be idle making no money. Both of them is no money. But at least in one, you are doing what? You are exercising the gift. You wake up every morning, you have a place to go and exercise your gift. you are far better than the young man, the young woman who says they are not paying anything there. And therefore, he or she doesn't leave the home and is not exercising the gift. And it's actually still better than the person who's been paid everything and is still not exercising the gift. That is being led by the Spirit. Are you getting my point? That is what is pushing me. It's not the spirit of the age, but the spirit of God. The idea of being productive is the spirit of God. The idea of exercising my gift is the spirit of God. The idea of wanting to be a blessing to somebody is the spirit of God. It's not the spirit of this age. The spirit of this age is, how do I get? How do I get? How do I get? How do I grab? People make those days when bankers used to jump up and down, all right? Just hop left and right like frog. Remember? Okay, maybe many of you are young. Now hop, now you won't land anywhere. Now if you go up like this, by the time you are landing, nothing. Empty space, loser. You're on the floor. But those days, guys just they jump anyhow. Jump from here to here. I said, but you just had this job last month. Ah. I said, no. Look, in life, you have to be sharp. The best way to move forward is just from here, you're an officer. From there, you're assistant manager. Then you move. They make you deputy manager. Then they move you. You become a manager. Then you become a senior manager. So the guy goes round and round in circles for a few years and then now considers his manager. Then one day, the whole bank collapses on him. I said it then. I didn't change my mind. People argued with me that I don't understand. You know what I was saying? I said, this is what the Bible, the opposite of what the Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Cultivate faithfulness. I said, you guys are cultivating unfaithfulness. You're undependable. You're unreliable. I hire you today. 2 months later, I mean, what are you? I said, well, you know, just give her money. She's on your side. You know what's the question? You don't know what I said? Okay. Sorry, I thought you spoke in the common Nigerian language. It's called halot. Yes, just money. Money. Just give her money. She has gone. I told them, look, I said, well, I don't understand what you guys are talking about. They said, no, that is a way to move forward. I said, but this is called unfaithfulness. I don't care what you are getting, it is unfaithfulness. I said, somebody should be able to depend on you. I've employed this set of people. Yes, I work yesterday, then you wake up tomorrow morning, all of you have disappeared. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. The Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That is, practice it. Practice it. Faithfulness means sometimes life is going to be hard. Dwell in the land and do what? Cultivate faithfulness. Please, I'm going to say something, all right? And that's the fact that Christianity, I said, is a walk. This is how we walk as Christians. And being led by the Spirit is being led by the precepts of God. It doesn't mean by the Holy Spirit say, just woke up in the morning. Holy Spirit just said, banky, banky, you shall preach today. Then I'll turn and say, Holy Spirit, if I don't preach today, what was I supposed to do before? Listen, Holy Spirit has never, ever, once in my life told me, today is Saturday, go and preach in Kingdom World Ministries. Never. He needs to tell me, you don't have to go there today. Go and honor this invitation somewhere else. Because when it comes to preaching regularly at our meetings here on Saturdays, I don't need anybody to tell me that. It has become a principle of my life. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Yes, you know, I've really left this our Satan matter, but I think we're still talking about it. But I'll try and get back to it. So the point I'm making is this. It says that Isaiah chapter 8. He said, the summary of everything that God told me is this, don't walk in the way of these people. And I'm saying to us again, that the aim of the devil in our lives is to take us away from the way of God into the way of the world. When he came to Jesus and said, turn these stones to bread, there's a principle there. I've taught it here before. Every opportunity you have in life is to make money. That's what it means, turn these stones to bread. Every little thing, use it to make money. Every gift you have, use it to make money. It's called turn these stones to bread. What was he saying? You have the power. Use it for your own benefit. That's what he was saying. That's the principle of the world. Any power you have, use it for your own benefit. You monetize everything. You know, life can be tempting. You know what I'm saying? Yes. If I say preach, I told you the story of one of my friends once. He went to go and preach in a particular program. By the time he was through, they shook his hand and said that it was such a powerful program. Such a powerful program. Such a powerful meeting. As he was going, the pastor was escorting him. Such a powerful program. Oh, God, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. And he boarded the vehicle that was conducting him away. All he got was, God bless you, sir. They waved the guy bye-bye. Meanwhile, Bros was hungry. He finished preaching. Ravi Sakara described how he preached for a whole week. By the time he finished, they said, oh, we forgot to take an offering for the man of God. What shall we do? I think we should mention it on Sunday. Yes, we'll mention it. All right, sir. Go. Bye-bye, sir. That's temptation. Preach for a week. This is the only job you do. They didn't give him one cover. He said 15 years later, maybe they have not remembered to discuss it on Sunday because he hasn't heard from them since. That's why I wrote one part of the book. Should I, so who will pay for this? I have to explain to people. Don't demand on the pastor to be nice. Just do your duties towards him. Now, why am I saying that story? The story, the people now react and say, we are turning our stones to what? Bread. That's actually why I talk about it. Because life can be tempting. So, there are preachers, before they go somewhere to preach, you tell them how much money you are giving them. Don't look at a very wicked man. I agree what he's doing. I don't agree with it. But it's a reaction to experience. A lot of them. But it's still not the right thing to do. You are not allowed to turn these stones to bread. Or you mount the pulpit and decide that, well, I have been teaching you the word of God. I must collect my offering by force. Who will say to God, today, I want to do something special that you will never forget me. And all of that. And you know the truth is that, you know, this I always illustrate it. Everybody, right? Let's do something. Can you put up your right hand, please, everybody? Put up your right hand. Put it up very high. Until almost cutting off. Put it off. Okay, please put it down. You didn't even ask me why. Did you ask why? If I said bring it down into your pocket, it will continue going there. You know that. Anything it touches, wrap your hand around it. Pull it out. Raise it up again. Stretch your hand forward. Open the hand. As it falls down, it's a blessing. Ushers, go and collect it. You know you would, look, you wouldn't dare, unless you're a real hired man. Eh? Or you are, you know, some people have been toughened. If you tell me, like, you tell me, and I wrap my hand around it, say, bring it out, I said, I'm going to my money. say, drop it. Pastor, please. This handshake is getting... The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, why I use that illustration is this. Listen, I said, put up your right hand. When I said it, you did. You didn't question me. And I knew you wouldn't question me. It's what is called power. That's what's called authority. It may be subtle, but I actually have that amount of power over you. You don't realize it. It's subtle. I decided when you will come here. You don't realize that. You can't leave until I say leave. Why did God give me that power? It's simple. So I'll use that same power to infuse His Spirit into you. Nothing more than that. That power was given to me. It may appear subtle, but it's a lot of power. It's a lot of power. In case you don't know, you know this Boko Haram kind of thing you're hearing? When Americans want to fight the Boko Haram people, people like them, Al-Qaeda, they are not just looking for the fighters. They look for the imams. Because when that guy speaks, a young man straps a belt to himself. He knows he's going to die by the power of a man's words. So CIA said, listen, we don't just kill the boys. Where is the spirit coming from? They kill the imams also. Because that is where the spirit is coming from. No, that is warfare. That's what I'm talking about. These words have power. And God gave those kind. Listen, I'm not bragging or anything. I, talking to you, I have that kind of power. I do. It's not because I learned it. I was born and God poured it into me. But he said there is a purpose for it. Go and use it to turn the heart of men, the heart of women to righteousness. Let it be that when you finish speaking, when they see iniquity, they can't touch it. Let it be that when you finish speaking, when they see right, that's all they want to do. let it be that they will not longer live for themselves, but for him that died and rose again on their behalf. Let it be that after they hear you speak, they will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and always increasing in their knowledge of God. Say, so let it be. So sometimes, when I'm too hungry, I come down, I never chop, wife never chop, children never pay school fees, and I see the kind of car you park outside. Satan will come and say, oh boy, turn this stone to bread. And many preachers these days are turning stones to bread, turning iron rod to bread, leaf to bread, wood to bread. That's the truth. Turning it to bread. That's it. I don't want to make some of you who are not into ministry things feel bad. If you hear some things, you'll feel terrible. How was the meeting? Oh, it was powerful. How do I know? Look at the cars. That we went to do a meeting. We preachers, we'll report home to our colleagues. How was the meeting? It was powerful. How do we know? Did you check outside? Yes. That's the latest Ford Expedition. My God. Other one, that one. Ah, yeah, I know. I've always wanted an MG. That's an MG. And this car keys, this house keys, is a new house. Somebody just sold into the ministry, you know, in Abuja. Amen. Oh, it was a powerful meeting. And then, you know, preachers, you go look, say, what in this guy they preach? We, me, I know they preach. And they start telling you, and of course, when you finish all of that, you go start your car. But sure. Say, okay, I mean, I put every push and smile. It will start to start. Ah, you go reach house. If your wife is now, if you married Job's wife, you're in trouble. You know Job's wife? Curse God and die. When you reach out, say, honey, leave me. You don't know, leave me. You don't touch your wife. You know, you touch your wife like this on the shoulder will just go down. Ah. which means don't touch. You go marry Job's wife and you're a preacher like that. You leave your colleagues missed when they are praising God for the new Ford, the explorers, the expeditions, that, you know. And I say, please help me push and small. But shoot. No, don't worry. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Just push it a bit. Thank you, all right, guys. God bless you. We'll see you later. You reach out, you marry Joe's wife, you are dead. these are real challenges people face. Next time you are going to preach, my wife is telling you, go and learn. You know, you have to pray for God to give you revelation. If you don't talk to your friends, for you know, I've seen preachers do it again and again. Message will change. This message today is so powerful. Oh, no, you have to connect with it. You have to connect with it. You have to connect with it. With all these powerful words, you know, you have to defeat the devil out of your life. You will say to God, they say, the amount of sacrifice you make, the amount of power you will have to defeat the devil. God knows, listen, the message begins to move. According to God, the ministry starts moving. It's called turning stones to what? Bread. This is how it starts. That's how it starts. That's all kinds of revelations. Of course, I know Satan very wicked. You do it one time. It's called bow to me and I will give you all these kingdoms. You preach it one time, he gives you kingdom. Your last year's income, you make it in one service, Pastor. One service. That's it, you are hooked. And listen, if you have a friend who's a preacher, pray for him. What did I say? Your husband is a preacher. What did I say? Pray for him. Pray. It's called temptation. He said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Into temptation. That's what Jesus said. Look, this, in fact, maybe I want to finish this series. I want to talk about the power of prayer in the church, in the nation. We need to talk about it. Don't just look at, leave those things to just slide by. You need to help people with prayer. You have to help them. We have to help ourselves. This is very important. That's where Satan goes to hide. Turn these stones to bread. And many people today are turning their stones to bread. Many. This is how you know where you are turning your stones to bread. There's nothing you ever agree to do without checking how much you are going to get from it. You are turning your stones to bread. Every gift you have, it must be monetized first. You are turning your stones to bread. You always go to the highest bidder. It's called turning your stones to bread. Yes, that is for you. It's the highest bidder every time you are turning your stones to bread. That's how you know. That's how you know that you are falling for his temptation. Anything you want, two people say that, okay, maybe you give a kind of service. Maybe you are an MC, you are a preacher, yes. A preacher. Who is inviting you? These guys. Where? Otupo? For what? The other guys, Olayinka, where? Oh, Port Harcourt. All right, put that one. Let's check that one. Abuja. Okay, put that one. Ah, London. Ah, that's good. We should check. Who are these people? You said Anyongba. What? Where is Anyongba? All you are thinking of course, if you don't know where Anyongba is, I mean, it's okay, right? You may not know where Anyongba is, but what I mean is, all you are thinking is, where is Anyongba? How many of them are there? Did they give? Yeah, no, this is... Once you start doing like that, just know you are turning your stones to what? To bread. You are turning your stones to bread. That's what you are doing. That's what you are doing. It's not only preachers or businessmen, do it too. As I see people that anything that's making money, they are jumping for it. It's not the will of God. You should know where your gift is. You should know where your calling is. And your primary assignment in those is to be a blessing to people, not to make money for yourself. You say, as a business owner, I make money. Money is added. What did I call it? Added. Go and read the story by Henry Ford again. It's a beautiful story. My Life and Work, Henry Ford. He will tell you how you see the man became extremely rich, maybe amongst the top 5 richest men in the world at that time, maybe. I'm not very sure of his position. But go and check his mindset. Go and check his mentality. He was waxing richer while trying to make other people rich. He just kept on waxing richer. So how many cars are we selling? 1,000. Is that the number of people that need cars in this country? Why are we selling only 1,000? We have to be able to reduce our cost of production so we can drop the prices. More people need to drive this thing. And that was his mindset. He kept on getting richer and richer. There is he that scattereth, yet increases. It's a spiritual principle. You know, the Lord is good. I want to stop my message now. And this message has not yet talked about what I wanted to talk about. Because I wanted to talk about the fact that as part of this, our lifestyle of Christianity is speaking according to the word of God constantly. Is what actually rebukes the devil all the time and keeps him at bay. But this issue of the work of Christianity just keeps on coming to my mind. And I believe that God wants to help some people here today with it. So that's why I had to stay with it. I had to stick with it, continue teaching it. And I've left the main thing I had in mind before, all right, unsaid. But we'll say it again, all right? I wish I had finished that one today, but apparently I will not finish. I wouldn't even get down to the Ephesians chapter 6 that we read. Last time we ended reading it, I wanted to start talking about it. Time ran out. We'll do it again next time. All right? You know, like I keep on saying, that's why we keep coming back. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes, sir.
I hope you learned something.
Yes, sir.
That's what's most important. The devil will not get you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He can't. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's share the word of God in confessions. I ended up talking today about that the walk of Christianity. Well, I believe somebody was blessed. That's what Christianity is. The world shouldn't tell us how to live. We never turn our stones to bread. Primary thing is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, and bearing fruit in every good work. Let's just repeat this. I'm not saying repeat it after me, I just want to say it again. If you are a member of a cult, yes, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Christianity is a cult also. Yes, it is. Just that it's not a kind of cult that people hide. I want everybody's welcome. There are mysteries, all right? This is what they call a mysterion. It's a cult. You are initiated, all right, by learning some mysteries, okay? That's what it is. And we also have our own incantations. If you're a blood drinker, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We drink the blood of Jesus Christ. Except to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. If you have eaten his flesh, say amen.
Amen.
If you have drank his blood, say amen.
Amen.
He tell you that witches are sucking blood. You suck some of this dirty blood. You get sick. The witches are spiritually sick. You can't be sucking the blood of unbelievers and you think you'll be normal. You have a real problem. The Lord is good. But when you drink the precious blood of Jesus Christ, what it does is to impart life into you. Remove every dead thing that is inside you. Remove every curse that your life ever had. Give you a new life. That's what it does. When you eat that flesh, all right, that was broken for you, you know what happens? All your diseases are healed. You are made whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And that's why we eat his blood, eat flesh and drink his blood. In this our cult, we eat things also. And we have incantations. We have what?
Incantations.
If you go and read, especially the book of Psalms, it's the book of the incantations of the Lord. Yeah, that's what it is. Just now we read from the book of Isaiah chapter 8. He said, guard that, but you'll be shattered. You know, it's not a movie. It's not a, ooh, did you hear that? Is it the rhyme? My God, it's in your rhyme. That is a bomb, amen? It's not rhyme. It's not rhyme. It's a commandment. It's an instruction. It's a releasing to the realm of the spirit. That's what it is. When you see, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not nursery school rhyme. Everybody say after me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. No, that's not what it is. It's an instruction for your life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are telling your life how to respond. When you say, I shall not want, it's not like even though I'm wanting, I'm just not wanting. No, it means I shall not want. It will not happen that I will be in a situation where I need certain things and I will not have them to meet that need. That's what it means. And you are saying it ahead of time. Like I say all the time, your words don't describe your experiences. You understand what I'm saying? They don't describe your past. They create your future. That's what they do. They create an experience for you. Let's never forget that. Listen, let me just say this one to you. Never, don't let any day pass and you don't do some occultic activities. It's not good. You wake up in the morning. Sweetheart, I have an appointment. Oh, you've collected your keys. Room, zoom. Meet this person. Come back home. I'm so tired, you sleep. It's not good. Even if you're in a human cult, they will soon expel you. And you wake up in the morning. As you are entering the bathroom, you are declaring, no good thing will live with you from them that walk uprightly. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, because you're a businessman, whatever you do, like indeed, people do gather against you, but not all those witches gathering in the village. Political gathering. You know, it's occurring right now. And God has called you and said, you are going to be a governor. Don't go and, you know, in fact, you know, something happened yesterday. I don't know whether you read in the papers. They found a place where human beings were being kidnapped, kept, and their parts being sold. Don't research things and just say, oh, this is bad. No, this is not. In this country, what's government doing? You know the government in that place? Who can identify the government? It's you. Look at government standing all over this place. This is government. What did I say? Do it now. As soon as I read that thing, I fired a prayer request to all my brethren on a chat group. I forwarded the link. Guys, read this and let's do something about it. See the kind of words I uttered. If you're a sinner, you're for fear. I said, God, let the only peace they will have be in repentance and in faith in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, run them mad at midday. If you have not listened to the Bible on CD, Deuteronomy 28, I was telling Israel today. When Moses was telling them what God will do to them, go and read it for those wicked people. He said, the sight you will see will run you mad. I said, Moses. when I, you know, they rescued 23 living people who were almost dead. chained to the walls. They didn't do anything. They were walking on the road. Somebody stole them. And we keep them until they need their body parts. I said, no. I said, whoever patronized them, if it's in government office, if it's any powerful place, say, God, in the name of Jesus, dethrone him.
Amen.
That's my prayer. That's my prayer. Now, why I won't remember it is because, you see, somebody now said that, election is coming. That's where I'm going. The person said, oh, election is coming. That is the cause of all of this. The election is coming. That the politicians have started strategizing, sacrificing. Oh, I pray Christians will join politics. This is a good note. You know, that's a place to display power. Are you getting my point? Hey, it's a good place to display power. When men have, the night all of them go to sacrifice, make sure that night you sleep. Don't pray. There's a kind of prayer you pray, even the devil knows you are afraid. So when they've all gone, if you are aware they've all gone to Okija shrine, that night, you know what you do? You sleep. Sleep. Are you getting my point? Sleep. Sleep well. Sleep well. Sleep properly. Don't wake up to pray for anything. If you wake up at night, go and get yourself a fat drink, you know. Drink and go back to sleep.
Amen.
And you wake up in the morning, wake up very late, yawn, and then open the scripture. Ooh. Say, be broken, O peoples, and be shattered. And give ear, O remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand. For God is with me. Just state that. Take your bath. Dress up. Start your car and start driving. I'm be glad in it. I've been glad in it. This is the day. If anybody calls and say, I heard that they had a night meeting yesterday. He said, let them gather. They will be scattered. As how to join cult, all these small queer cult, they never see nothing. This is the book of the incantations of the Lord. Any man that wants to live long will leave you alone. Are you getting my point? And please don't be ashamed of it. The other said, when they're having discussion, say, what are we going to do? He said, we are going to pray about them. Don't be ashamed of it. You declare it loudly. They say, okay, we want to start political meeting. Say, then I say, who's going to pray? Your volunteer. Say, Father, we thank you for this country because it is moving forward. All the enemies of progress, let them gather, but they will be scattered. Let them arm themselves, but yet, Lord, they will be shattered. All their proposals, none will stand in the name of Jesus because God is with this nation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Those who have descending spirit will leave that meeting. The opponents. Everybody just shout amen. They won't know that you have released danger into the atmosphere. I said to you last time, let me say it again. In the realm of the spirit, the angels always have to collect swords when they are going for battle. And the sword of the realm of the spirit are words. Do you understand my point? And the one that the Christian uses is what the Bible calls the word of God. We don't state the word of desire. Lord, this is my desire. He will grant it. He will grant it. In the name of Jesus, He will grant it. He will grant it. Oh, He will grant it. He will grant it. That's not the word of God. Go away. And say, you don't know anybody. And you think you can get that job. You don't just say, hey, what shall we do now? That's satanic talk. Worldly talk. How do you answer? Promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. God is judge. He brings down one and He lifts up another. If God is with me, then I am getting everything that belongs to me. It's not to make you feel good. The angel said, give me something, I won't go fight. You just issued out weapons. You hear what I said? You just did what? You issued out weapons. That's what you just did. You issued out weapons. Said, go and I remember I read a story by Roland Bork. He said one day, God gave him a series of visions about angels. He said one day he saw some angels. they were, you know, pacing up and down. Something's happened. So when he woke up, he told the angel, what's going on? He said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. And I never forgot that thing. That the angel said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. That we have to fight to set you free from lack. I said, wow. So it's not just that God just supplies. The angels do warfare for your finances. And I'm saying to you again, they don't just do warfare like that. Why did they come to you? They say, do you have any weapons in the house we can use? Didn't you bring from heaven? They don't stock them in heaven anymore. He said, take on the whole armor of God. It's in your wardrobe. So which one are you giving us? He said, okay, very good. Very good. There's one very nice one. It works every angle. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They say, thank you. They take that one. It's a sword. It's not a nursery rhyme. It's a sword. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things, and I will abound to every good work. Another angel grabs it. Thank you. One angel says, okay, where my own? He said, where's my own? He said, which one do I give you? Behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So God, thank you. You gave me the best one. Thank you. Yes, it's sword. That's how it is. Therefore, everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Say, the Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
I shall not want.
I shall not
the
want.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with
therefore,
me.
Lack is scattered from me.
Therefore, lack is scattered.
Therefore, fear is scattered from me.
Therefore, fear is scattered.
Say, the Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
Therefore, every opposition is dissolved.
Opposition towards my destiny,
it is dissolved.
It is dissolved.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it
again, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Therefore, I am not afraid of anything. Say this, say, he makes all grace abound towards me.
He makes all grace abound towards
I have all sufficiency in all things.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work. Say, behold.
Behold,
he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river.
He causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river.
And the wealth of the nations,
like an overflowing stream.
I want to say this. If you're a businessman, everybody say this, but if you're a businessman, you're an investor, you like to do new things, break into new realms. As we are saying, I want you to particularly note this. All right? Say this. I can take giants.
I can take giants.
I can take the promised land.
I can take the promised land.
That is very powerful. Sometimes I've heard people complain before. How come Dangote is the only one importing sugar? If you want to import sugar, I say to you, you can do it.
Amen.
Listen, there is, no matter. Listen, when you talk about giants, when you talk about giants, what he was saying, I like the way he said it about Caleb. He said the name of that place before used to be called Kiriath Arba, because Arba was the greatest of the giants. But now, the new name is Hebron. Because Caleb went there and killed all the descendants of Kiriath Arba and renamed the place Hebron. Do you understand my point? There is no business you can't challenge the giants that are there. There is. You think it is a stone that knocked Goliath down. It wasn't a stone. It was obedience. You understand my point? Try. Believe God. So when he hauled the stone, the angel just did like, as soon as he reached there, the angel pushed it in. Look at the angel. Come on, stupid giant. Die, my friend. Die there. David, yeah, come on, cut off his head. You will cut off giant's head in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said you will cut off gigantic heads in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Never be afraid. If you need to take, this will sound funny. If it is necessary for you to take Apple head on, the most capitalized company in the world, you can do it.
Amen.
Let me say something to you as a believer. If you want to die early, do what I want to say. If you want God to punish you, do this thing I'm about to say. If you want God to specially destroy the work of your hands, do this thing I'm about to say. Turn away from a challenge because of the people on the opposite side. There are things God doesn't take jokingly. Hey, I want to do this kind of thing. These people are already doing it. They are big. They are big. They will never allow you. God will say, He will send people to go and warn you 2 or 3 times. If you don't listen, there is nothing you will do after that day in your life that will succeed. Go and check the time that God said, these people have ganged up against me. What did they say? They said, there are giants in the land, we can't enter. That's all they said, though. There are giants there. We can't enter. Enter now. No. There's no need. Guys, let's go back to Egypt. Let's get rid of this Moses and all the idiots that are believing him. Let's look for us a new leader that will lead us back to Egypt. God said, these people have ganged up against me. There was no prayer Moses could pray. God said, every single one of them will perish in the wilderness. He said, I have sworn that one. That one I swear. There is no one that was an adult that was present that day that will not die in this wilderness. Let me warn you as a Christian. Never turn back from any challenge because of you think the opposition is big. God said, go and be a local government chairman. Say, those people are thugs. Oh boy. Nothing you do after that will succeed. Because at that point, you say, you don't know this politician. They're very dangerous people. God said, who is more dangerous? PDP or me? Yeah, that's what God is saying. Who is more dangerous? Do you understand? God said, you want to see danger. I am a consuming fire. I burn complete, turn people to ashes. You know, there are some things, assuming that you are in your office, you are the big boss. You tell somebody who's far below, you say, I don't want this thing done. So he says, yes, sir. Then an inferior boss now comes. You understand? And he says, do this. You know, when you come back and the thing has been done, you tell the person, I thought I said nobody should do this. Say, yes, sir. But this other guy said we should do it. You know, the first thing that comes to your mind is that, who is the bigger guy here? Are you getting my point? Your main anger is not whether you were disobeyed. It's that the hierarchy was misunderstood. You fire that guy, not just for disobedience, but for misunderstanding who the real boss is. And the other boss, except he comes to say sorry, you demote him. You get my point? You rearrange him. Everybody else. Anybody else is in doubt or who's in charge? No, sir. All correct, sir. You're in charge, sir. And that is what happened. He said they are dangerous because who's more dangerous? The word that the Bible uses to describe God is the word terrible. Yes. Let me say it to you again. Never draw back from any challenge because of the opposition. You do that, you are specially annoying God. Is it the children of Ephraim, they said, that were armed, and the day of battle, they turned back. Therefore, they broke my covenant. If you get up in the morning and say, I don't know what exactly I'm supposed to do, you are forgiven. If you get up in the morning and say, hey, does God want me to do this? I'm not even sure. Or just wake up in the morning, I'm just lazy. You know, I'm a lazy person. I don't want to get up today. You are still forgiven. But you wake up, you know what to do. Then you say to God, I can't do it. The enemies are too strong. Oh, boy. It may sound like theology. I don't know. I just feel like that word is for a businessman. It's for a businesswoman who's listening to me this evening. God says, you've been running around for the last 2 years, refusing to move forward. You know where you are supposed to move to. But you are trying to say that the people there are too powerful. And that's why I have grounded you totally. And that ground, is it grinding of you or grounding of you? Whatever. That thing is not, I'm not going to be patient for forever. Now move off from that place. You have circled this mountain here long enough, said to Moses. It's time to turn northward. I say to you again tonight, it is time for you to turn northward. In fact, I feel like that's why I've been preaching all kinds of messages today, not focusing on my main dealing with the devil. Because a few people came in here, they have just been stagnated. Now, what is the stagnation? The world is teaching them how to run their lives. When they're supposed to take up a challenge, they refuse. Why? The opposition is too strong. If we invest money, let's just take a job and forget this business. Because, who are your opponents? Are the Dangotes, the Otedolas? These are big men. You cannot stand up against these people. But like a friend of mine said once, this movie market, the marketers, they control it. There are things you never say. You know what I said? There are things you should never say. You should arm yourself. You know, the angels are walking around weaponless. And the demons know they don't have weapons. They'll be running riot anyhow. Like they say in Yoruba, Alayinka. I seen the logo. That when the cat is not around, you know the mouse starts running all over the place. The mice will come, carry your remote, change channel. That's what happens. When the people of God don't arm the angels of God, that's what happens. The demons are running recklessly. The children of God are not making progress. Not because they are not working hard, but because they are not arming the people that God sent to go and work on their behalf. Physical work won't attain much for you except the spiritual labor going on your behalf. He said, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation? If you are the heir of God's salvation, say amen.
Amen.
And I give you a word again today. Your angels say, listen, move and give us the weapons. Say it again in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I can run through a troop.
I can run through a troop.
I can leap over a wall.
I can leap over a wall.
I can claim my promised land.
I can claim my promised land.
I can behead the giants.
I can behead the giants.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, we give you thanks for your word. Your word is good. Thank you for it. Doors will open for us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you stretch your hand towards that door, it will open in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All God is saying, stretch your hand. As your hand is coming towards it, it will give in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because grace is with you. Say it, grace is with me.
Grace is with me.
Grace is with me.
Grace is with me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Quickly, let's share the grace as we close. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We walk above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Last night, one more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Go out and claim your fruitfulness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.